Hey friends, it's Asa, and we meet again for tonight's HK Happy Hour. 一起八，恭喜恭喜！ First off, did any of you guys tune into Subtle TVB Trait's special screening of Love Talks with Grace Chan? And did you guys get any of your questions answered? Let me know on Instagram at hk.happyhour. If you haven't joined Subtle TVB Trait's, now is your time to join the Facebook group. I watched it on Monday evening, and I absolutely loved the show, but I don't feel comfortable talking about it until it officially airs next week. Otherwise, if you missed it, all I can say is that you gotta watch it, and I really enjoyed their discussions, and it almost made me cry a few times because the two guests on the first episode also happens to be my favorite actors and characters on TVB's Love Come Home, Andrew Chan and Andrea So. I have so much to say, but I'll be sure to discuss that next week. Today is Tet Yusupsei, and you know it's Guaijit Laba. And as a kickoff, we're gonna talk about TVB's variety show Psychic King, 通灵之王啦. The show actually ended on Tuesday, so for those that haven't watched it, here is your time to binge. For me, I started watching it on episode 3 or 4, and it was addicting. I find that backtracking to episode 1 and 2 wasn't that interesting, so I can see how the first two episodes can deter people from watching the show, but I swear, try watching it because there are funny moments, like it's so obviously wrong at times, and some of the contestants are absolutely quirky and random, and they are so memorable as they are unique and funny in their own right. What I like about this show is that it really broadens your mindset, and it actually explains some of the stuff that we've seen at some point in our lives, whether it's through the media or through your upbringing, as the occult is often viewed in a negative light. So it actually opened my mind on certain areas, and really, there's actually nothing to be scared about. The other part of me is loving the host, Leung Si-ho, because as you go through the episodes, he really explains what qualifies a person to be the Psychic King. And as each episode goes by, he slowly unravels each character from their greatest strengths to their weaknesses while explaining what it takes to be a 通灵之王. He eventually unveils why Si-jie doesn't meet the Psychic King criteria, and I completely agree because a 通灵之王 needs to explain how they arrive with their answer. And it is not through telling you or the judges by explaining to the camera, saying you just follow your gut. And that was part of Leung Si-ho's main point, and I really agree with it. But Si-jie was absolutely my favorite contestant because her confidence is basically awesome. And what she said is true. She knew she wouldn't win, but she would win the popularity portion. And she literally won me over with her personality, wit, and humor. So I hope she has her own show with TVB or have her own YouTube channel. I also have so much respect for Leung Si-ho because as a host, he tried to be as transparent as much as he could, and he even owns up to it, and he really explains it, especially for the Thai contestant. The host acknowledged that he doesn't doubt his capabilities, but because of his way of practice, needing the shrine became a disadvantage for him in terms of accuracy. But for fairness, they can't bring that in while giving him extra time to meditate because then it's not fair for the other contestants. He also gave meaningful takeaways to those in need, like the young Kung Fu contestant. But Leung Si-ho, knowing his personality, especially since he has, you know, years being in the industry, genuinely advised a young guy to either focus on Kung Fu or the occult arts. And I argue that perhaps he is still young. He hasn't spiritually grown with his mind, body, and soul with Kung Fu, which affects his confidence in general. Hopefully one day when he grows spiritually with his Kung Fu, he is able to naturally hone his own occult skills if he chooses to do so, but I honestly feel like he has a capability to excel more as a Kung Fu actor because he definitely has the skills and looks, so keep an eye out for this guy. Otherwise, I really felt that the winner, Law Wing, genuinely deserved the win, and it was such a full circle moment because I recall her being a guest tarot reader in one of the daytime talk shows a long time ago. So she obviously grew and honed her skills since then. To me, I always felt she was confident in her readings, even when she was quite inaccurate in the beginning of the show, but her confidence in her skills and her absolute trust with her set of tarot cards goes to show that she is aligned with her spirituality, which really puts her at an advantage. making her excel and be accurate with her readings, especially in the latter portion of the series. So, congratulations, Lo Wing. I honestly hope that Leung Si-ho gets to do more series like this. Not necessarily as a contest, but perhaps he can build more awareness and knowledge and breaking misconceptions to a lot of things by bringing in previous contestants and having them take on case studies would be really meaningful in raising a lot of awareness from the good and bad, like people being scammed when they should really be seeking medical or professional help. And being more accepting of their real life situation rather than thinking it's the dark side that's giving them all these problems when it's actually not. Now we're gonna talk about today's lab episode, 1682의 Ngo Yu Tang Gwai Gu. I'm so happy that Hong-ga passed the ghost storytelling torch to a new family because I'm really sick of Trigun's cheap lifestyle ghost stories. But I gotta give credit where credit is due because even till this day, the most memorable and scary yet hilarious ghost story was indeed the first Chut Yusup Se Gwai Gu of Trigun being stuck in a hotel that looked haunted, but it turned out that what haunted and scared him in the room was the expensive cost of coke. I still say it's the most and best well-written episode and it's still the best one, but we gotta give it to others to tell ghost stories, right? If you guys watch Simpsons, it kind of gave me Treehouse of Horror vibes for the title portion of each story, and this gave me a comforting feeling because that was something I always looked forward to every year during Halloween. My absolute favorite episode for this year is Casey's theater story, and it was hilarious, but at the same time, OMG. This gave me deja vu of my Gwai Gu when my uncle passed away. This particular uncle is my dad's cousin, and his passing really made me believe in the afterlife, rite of passage rituals, and the existence of spirits. To commemorate Chut Yusup Se, I'm gonna tell my Gwai Gu, but just wanted to warn you ahead of time for those that don't like to listen to these type of stories. I will talk to you guys next week, but for those that want to hear my Gwai Gu, don't leave yet, because I will start right now. I call my dad's cousin a Bak, and he passed away shortly after a medical procedure. And my dad's siblings all reside in California, and only two of my aunts flew out from LA to Seattle. And my parents and I picked them up at the SeaTac airport, and we all drove back to Vancouver for a Bak's funeral. And after the funeral, Ngo Leung Go Guma was like, I brought these joss paper to burn and walk over before we enter the house. The reason behind it is to ward off any bad spirits from the funeral home or remove any bad energy or bad luck. Because in our culture, Baksi is heavily associated with minor bad things happening within the family for about a year or so. So after 我们大家都 남고个佛盆咧, we thought all's well and well, right? Think again. We had to take my aunts back to the US airport on the same night after the funeral. And my mom ended up getting a speeding ticket from the US side. And my mom at that time, home girl, and she was so pissed after 可以吃早餐了又干. My mom got so mad that she stopped at the resting area and told me to drive back home. And by the time we got home to Vancouver, it was already 2 to 3 a.m. in the morning, okay? And Casey's story resonates with me through Bei Guai Jiakzhu phenomenon, which the medical sphere would call it sleep paralysis. And I first experienced this when I woke up around 4 to 5 a.m. that morning. And what happened was everything froze. And when I say everything freezes, I really mean by it. My whole body froze from head to toe. I wanted to scream, but I couldn't. You just feel that pressure that someone is covering your mouth, like the energy, and it just won't allow you to say anything, even though your whole body is screaming for, you know, calling out someone for help. And I still vividly remember that I wanted to scream for my mom or my older brother because I know my mom is a light sleeper and my older brother is a night owl and his room is next door to mine. And the weirdest part to this is that when I was in sleep paralysis, I stopped hearing my brother's audible keyboard typing. The sound and his awakened existence just disappeared. No noise at all. And at that point of quick transition, 我就那一刻就知道不对路啦. And when I was in sleep paralysis, I remember my left arm was up and I was sleeping on my back when all of this happened. All of a sudden, I saw my uncle in my dream and he was very happy. To a point, I've never seen him that happy in my life. And in my dream, it felt like he was leading a town hall meeting because he called these friends and 그랬잖아요, like he wanted to give good news. And I don't know who these people are and I couldn't see their faces either because I only saw their backs as they sat on white chairs. My uncle was bragging in this so-called town hall meeting and he bragged that three of my older aunts, two of my younger uncles, and one younger aunt, they all gave bakgam. Keep in mind, only two of my older aunts came to the funeral. And once he finished bragging, he was like, Asa, take a look. Nah, 来 Taylor. He handed me the white envelope and taps on my left hand. And then I can hear 6 footsteps going down the stairs. And in reality, the flight of stairs at my house is about 15 steps. And I'm next to it, so I can actually hear them all if you're a loud walker. But after I stopped hearing the quick footsteps down the stairs, I was finally able to actually hear my brother using his computer because he is typing his life away in the middle of the night. And I was able to finally move normally. 但是, 在这个 moment, 我真的怕到我不敢动了。 I was so scared, I literally stayed in my bed, which felt like 20 minutes long. I was that scared that I didn't even dare to open my eyes and look at the time. And I never felt so comforting to hear my brother's loud keyboard. And after waiting, I finally had the balls to go to my parents' room. And when I did, I was scared and I thought I was in some limbo. I call for my mom, mind you, she's a known light sleeper that will wake up in a flash. 但是我叫了我妈咪好多次咧，佢都系叫极唔醒嘅。 And I was like, here I go again. Then I started calling for my dad. And for some odd reason, my dad's a heavy sleeper, but he woke up after I called him on the second try. And when he woke up, he was so angry and he said, 你做乜嘢啊? And when I explained and told him that I saw a bak in my dreams, he quickly just shut down, closed his eyes, and pretended to go back to sleep. And at this point, my mom finally woke up and led me back to bed. And fast forward to the next day, during dinner time, my dad confronts me. 你今晚究竟发生咩事了? I then told him everything in detail, and my dad literally stopped eating and his face went pale. I asked him what happened. Then my dad told me that 我的大姑妈 wrote down the list of his siblings from LA that gave bakgam. And I named exactly as I saw it in my dream. And I asked why in my dream that I read every one of his siblings' name that paid bakgam except for one uncle. My dad then explained that one of his brothers that didn't pay was because he missed the deadline as he was out of town during that time. And the only people that knew about this list was my two aunts and my father. And this dream was a form of validation for my dad that it was really my uncle that came into my dream. And I also didn't hesitate to call out my dad afterwards and ask him why he just closed his eyes and pretended to go back to sleep when I told him I saw a bak in my dreams. He then confronted, right before you woke me up, your uncle was trying to get into my dream, so I was scared as hell. The scariest part for all of us is that my mom called my baklang a few weeks after. My baklang told my mom that the batsi professionals calculated his time of passing as very strong. And allegedly, they said, 佢嚟細個日係好猛嘅. And she proceeded to tell other stories that happened afterwards, because even more strange things happened with my uncle's siblings. But this is not my story to tell, so I'm not gonna touch on that. In the end, my sleep paralysis encounter turned out to be the only happy story when compared to other abnormal ones that actually happened to my distant relatives. So, this is why I now believe that there are other energies out there in this world, and it's not just us and animals coexisting. There's more to it. Looking back, I can now laugh at this story, but y'all, back then it was scary to a point where I had to leave on lab shows in the middle of the night because I was so afraid of sleeping. And this explains why I'm such a diehard fan for lab, because it got me through some strange times. And I look forward to reading your comments on Instagram at hk.happyhour, because I want to know. What is your ranking for today's lab mini ghost stories? Was it Linda, Terry, Philip, or Casey? And have you encountered any strange things like myself? And how did you get over it? Until next time, we are going to catch up with y'all on the next HK Happy Hour, Yatai Ba Gongsi Gongfei, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. This is Asa, and I'm signing off. See you next week.